Thursday by midnight, right?
Right. Okay. Homework is due Thursday at midnight, this coming Thursday. A week from today, actually. Okay? So it's due on the 7th at midnight. I reluctantly, as Dave has pointed out, will take some stuff up until the final. But I only mean some stuff. I don't mean in a semester's worth of work. If you give me a semester's worth of work, then I will correct it with the same conscientiousness that you did in passing it in. I.e., I'll get to it when I get to it. So, I do not promise anything other than I will do whatever you get me by the 7th. And if you get me a couple of things by the final, I will get the couple of things done. But I'm not going to get everything done. Your final is actually at 12:45 on Tuesday, May 12th. Okay? Now, that means that it has to be sent in to me by 12:45 on Tuesday, May 12th. I'm not going to be here. I would suggest you not be here. I would suggest you'd be doing something else. But it has to be in by 12:45. I will post it Monday night. What's the date? I will post it this Monday night, the Monday the 4th. So you'll have plenty of time to look at it and just ask me questions, because we'll have open labs on Tuesday and Thursday. And so you'll have plenty of time to ask me questions. You can still email me questions, but I think that it usually person to person usually works better at explanations than going back and forth with 20 emails. So I will post it by Monday the 4th, Monday night, so you'll have a chance to look at it for Tuesday, and then again for Thursday I'll be here. And you can ask me questions. What else? You get both a final and a status sheet. As far as I'm concerned, the status sheet is part of the final, so I don't correct the final unless I get the status sheet. And the status sheet is basically, I will list all your assignments. You tell me the status of them. Did you get them in? Did you get a grade, etc.? It's more your insurance than anything else, because then I will check my grade book. If you and I are not in sync, then I will let you know. Okay? But essentially, I don't want to trust my grade book. I may not have received something that you actually sent. I may just have not entered something. I'm usually pretty good and usually catch everything, because I keep everything and I go back. If the first thing I do is, if I don't have an assignment of yours, I go back and look in all my folders to see if I misfiled it. Do a search and see if I misfiled it. So I'm usually pretty good, but still, things happen. And so the insurance that you have is the status sheet that you need to fill out. Okay? And that means that we correlate. Okay, so I would like everything by next Thursday, which means if you're planning to spend the weekend doing anything other than schoolwork, you're nuts. You know, this is the schoolwork weekend. And you still owe me from last semester, or some semester, you still owe me a CD, a flash drive with stuff on it.
Flash drive.
Okay.
I'll do that instead.
All right.
The CDs are no go.
Okay. I'll put it up on the web and your website.
Oh, all right. I completely forgot about that.
Yep, you can put it up on the website and then I can download it as long as you send me and tell me it's up there.
All right.
Now, am I going to do anything about it until after finals? Absolutely no. But I'm also not going to see you to nag you after finals, so I'm now nagging you. His was a situation where something didn't get through to me. He sent it. It never got through. He sent it about 10 times. It never got through. If you put it up on the website, then it ought to get through all right. Okay. Okay. So, your final I haven't written yet. That's my job this weekend. So we will see, and I will let you know what's going to be on it. Well, actually, I'm going to post it probably as soon as I finish it. So You can check it. It is an open notes, open book final, but no people involved other than you. Okay, the only person you're supposed to be asking information from is me. If you can con information out of me, you're more than welcome, Drew. But you can't do it with somebody else. You know, sometimes I end up giving away more information than I intended, so feel free to keep trying. But nobody else. Let's see, anything else? I think that's it. The next semester we will spend more time with Web Matrix because we didn't get much done on that. We'll look at Web Matrix. It's actually the first part of the next semester. It's planning some more time on Web Matrix.
What class is that?
256. If you can't find it, because it probably may not be on the roster, sign up for 258. 283, sorry. 283, right. Okay, my umbrella class is CIS 283.
And after we sign up, we just send you an email letting you know what we're taking?
And then probably till the end of the summer, I will ask you to confirm it.
Okay.
Okay, CIS 283 is an umbrella course. And what you want to do, because there's two of them listed, I think. Only one for the summer, so you're fine for the summer. There's two listed for the fall. One is in the game area. And so what you want to do is if you click on it, it shows the courses that are being offered under the 283. Yeah. If you see a bunch of courses that you know I teach, then it's mine. If you see a bunch of courses in the game curriculum, you know I don't teach them, so it's not mine. I think I'm the first one on the umbrella course. So what the umbrella course is any course that doesn't have the 10 that are needed to run, and usually Advanced VB doesn't, I will cover under the umbrella, and so you can do it online. Now, if you do it in the summer, you're on your own, because, I mean, I'll happily answer emails, but I'm not on campus much over the summer. If you take it in the fall, I'm on campus a lot, and you know I'm around for the labs on Tuesday and Thursday, so I'm available for help on those labs. But in the summer, I'm promising nothing. You know, I'm usually on campus, but on a very erratic basis. Somebody asks me to come in for a meeting of some kind, and, you know, I post. And if I'm teaching, I will then post that I'm available that day. For a few hours or something. If I'm coming in for a meeting, I usually extend it such that I'm available if anybody has questions. But that's about it. So 283 is the umbrella course. If you want to take CIS 256, which is Advanced VB, or if you want to take CIS 258, which is Advanced Web, then both of those are available online in the umbrella course. Okay? So the purpose we developed the umbrella course is so that if classes didn't get the 10 they needed to run, it makes it a lot easier to take, and also that people can take things out of sequence. Like I've got one person that's taking the Oracle course that he needed to graduate, and if it wasn't available, he couldn't be graduating. So he can take the Oracle, he's taking the Oracle course online so that he can graduate. So that's what the umbrella course kind of does for you. Okay. Yeah. Alrighty. I don't want to cancel it. Okay, what I want to do today is just play around a little bit with web development. And also I want to look at, so if you go into the textbook and the tutorials. Hold on to this book if you're going to take the advanced one, because I will tell you to relook at chapters 10 and 11, and we never get to 12. 12 is always one of the first things that I cover in the new course, because they do a good explanation of 12. I have not yet figured out what book I'm going to have. You're going to be taking it over the summer. Find yourself a good book. I'm going to look. If you find one, let me know. I'm going to look, but I have been using the second edition, the second book in this sequence, and the people that told me last semester told me that Gaddis really falls down in the second book. They don't like it. I didn't think it was that bad, but they didn't like it, so I'm going to look for another book. And I mean, I'm starting out with Web Matrix, so that's not a problem, and I'll probably figure out the book by the time it gets around to buying it, because Web Matrix isn't in the book. And I think you may be the only one that's taking it over the summer. Is anybody else taking it over the summer? Okay. So, find yourself a good book. Okay. One of the ones I want to look at is the grid thing, which is on page, I'll find it yet, page 11.5. Okay, so if you go in there, that's displaying the karate membership table in a grid view. Now,
is that an appendix or is that?
No, I'm on page 713.
Oh, it's chapter 11.
Yeah, sorry. I'm on page 713.
And it's chapter 11, section
1. Is that the email thing that you said?
Yeah, no, the email thing is that I'm going to have you work on after this.
Okay.
This one is too long, but yes, I sent, in case people don't own the book, I sent out the email of my plagiarism as opposed to posting it online. So now I'm recording my confession. So anyway, this one shows you how to bring up a grid. So you might just go and open VB, which we should have done long ago and far away.
You do not mind seeing that open.
And again, if you are using the Express version, which I do at home, there's two separate things. There's Web Developer for the desktop and Web Developer for the web. Or, I'm sorry, VB for the web and VB for the desktop. So this one starts out and it says, create a new empty website and da-da-da-da. Right-click the project name to name it and all of that good stuff. And then they say, okay, open a Windows Explorer window and copy the MDF. So they're talking about an MDF file. And I'm going to look at that toward the end here. I'm going to just show you. But an MDF file is an SQL server file. Okay, we've been using Access because that's what we have on the school here. But you can use MDF files, which are SQL server. Now, if you go into Web Matrix actually lets you develop an MDF file. If you go down on the side below files and click on databases, their default table or database that they make is an MDF. And if you have made a database in anything else, it's very easy to kind of follow along. The types are a little different. I think you call it N character or something, as opposed to var char. But they have, essentially, you can create an MDF file, and you can populate it with data, and you can use it. But we're going to use Access, so we can follow this, and I did it the other day. And you can follow this grid along and just bring up your Access donor file. So I would just like you to do this, follow this little tutorial. It takes, I don't want you to bother with all of the stuff beyond, just bring up the grid and try doing that. And I'm actually getting it here. Okay. So I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna do file, maybe I am. Sorry about that. I thought it had stopped. Okay, so I'm going to create a file, new website. Okay, so I'm creating a new website. And it says, create a new empty website, add a new web form named default. Okay, so I'm making a new website, and I'm going to browse and put this someplace. And I think I can name it right here, right? Create a new website in the existing location. Okay, I want to actually... What did I just do? I didn't pay attention, is what I just did. Create a file anyway, folks. Let's see what I've got. I think I turned it away. So new website. And I'm going to call this... New VB, we'll call it. And it says, it doesn't exist. Would you like to create this folder? And I'm going to say yes. Okay. And then I'm saying add new item. And they want you to add a new item, which is the default web form. And so you go to that particular kind of look like a globe. So I went to website, and then I went from website to add new item. And when you click on web form, you'll notice it says default ASPX down there. And that's what you want. So you say add that. Did I click on it?
So you added a new item?
Yes. So I've added this default ASPX.
Where do you add again?
Okay, you go to website, and it says add new item. So you click on add new item, and then you pick web form, which shows up as default, only the first time it would have showed up as default ASPX, now it's showing up as default too, and I'm not really gonna add it. But we're adding it, and it shows up as default ASPX. You find it?
I don't have a website yet.
You don't have something that says website?
Your project is a web.
Yeah.
Instead of an empty form.
Is it a web.config? Yeah. I think mine was an empty file.
Okay, did you do Ray at the beginning new website? As opposed to new project?
Oh, I need new project. Yeah, I messed up.
Okay.
Is it Visual Basic and then ASP?
Basically, you're going to say new website.
Okay.
And then it creates a new website. And that will give you the ability to then have the web thing up there at the top. So everybody got that okay? Okay. Now it says... add something to the app data folder. In the solutions window, right-click the project name and select refresh folder. This then expand the entry under app data and look for the basic database, okay? So it says open a window and copy the karate. Before you do that, I'm sorry. Right-click the project name in the Explorer window, then click New Folder on the pop-up menu and name the new folder App Data. Wasn't I clever to skip that? Okay, so right-click the project name in the Solution Explorer. Okay, so here's my project name.
The default?
No. Well, I called my new VB, so there's my project name, okay? So it says, right-click the project name, and then click New Folder on the pop-up menu, and name the folder App Data. Okay, so New Folder. You have to go to Add, and then New Folder, which I discovered when I was doing it. It's not very clear here, but you have to go to Add, and then New Folder. So you're going to Add and then New Folder. So I clicked on it and I'm saying Add and then I'm saying New Folder.
Hers is just that, hers says Add New Solution Folder.
Maybe
is that the same thing?
Wrong thing?
Click on the new VB or whatever you called it.
Okay.
And then I clicked on Add and then I clicked on New Folder.
Okay.
And let me take a picture of that since obviously. Okay, so I'm back here, and click on this, and then Add, and then New Folder, and they tell you to call it App Data. APP underscore DATA, I believe is what they tell you to call it, right? Open a Windows Explorer window and copy the Karate MDF file from the student sample to your database. Well, what I did is I went and decided I'd use my donor table or whatever table I want to use. I mean, whatever database I want to use. So I went over here and went to this drive and found myself a database. So I'm going to find myself a database, and I've got donor ACCDB down here. So I'm going to say copy that. Okay. And then I'm coming over here into App Data, and I'm saying paste it. Okay, so I've now got it in there. And then the next thing they say to do is to right-click the project name and select Refresh Folder. So right-click the project name and select Refresh Folder, which is someplace. There it is.
Can we back up a step? When you copy your database, where do you paste it?
I just paste it in this folder.
Oh, okay.
So I clicked on App Data and I pasted it right into that folder. Okay, so I pasted it right in there. So that means that database is now available. And apparently, for some reason, it needs confirmation of it. So we have to do the refresh. So I'm doing the refresh folder. Right-click and click on refresh folder. Okay. So now I've got the database there. And it has the file name. Okay, so now what they do is they want you to write a title. You can choose to write a title or not. So they're going into Design View. And they are saying, come over here and select a title. This is my title. And I'm missing the... okay, remind me how we get the forms up there. Toolbars, and I want the formatting toolbar. So I want the formatting toolbar up there. So I'm highlighting this and making it an H1. Okay. So I go in under View. I look for toolbars. If you don't already have the formatting toolbar, I go in under View. I select toolbars, not toolbox, toolbars, and I click on formatting. Okay, so I get the formatting toolbar there. Okay. So, and then if you come over here where it says none and click on each one and make that an H1, and you can either type before and then highlight it and type the H1, or you can do it ahead of time and pick the H1 and put it there.
Are you using the Express?
No, I'm using the full version right now.
Well, ours is a little bit different.
Okay. I don't know. No, I'm losing them. Supposedly, I'm using exactly the same version as you are. Supposedly.
Yeah, our stuff's like it. Hers is the same thing as mine. It's like to the right.
Across
above.
It's across up here.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why.
You can just click and drag that.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I know it's there. I can use it finally.
What did you say?
You could click on the toolbar and then.
Oh, and drag it up there. Yeah.
She probably has more real estate than.
Okay, so now I go down here under data, and I am going to find the grid view, and put the grid view up here. Okay, so there's my grid view. So I went down under grid, and I put my grid view up here. And they suggested that you expand it a little, so go ahead if you want to, whatever. And then you click on this little, is everybody with me? Yell if you're not.
Well, I am.
Huh?
I am.
Okay. Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, click on this little thing here. Go to where it says choose data source and pick new data source. Hello? Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you go through this business of you click database. And new connection. Okay, I want it to be an access database because that's what I'm using, as opposed to if I was using SQL Server. Okay. So I've got the access database. And that may have come up automatically for you. I don't know. It sometimes remembers. And then you say continue. And you say database file name is, where did I put it? There it is.
Shouldn't you go in your app data folder?
You're probably right. Good thinking.
Mine came up right away as soon as you clicked on that.
So what did you click on?
When I clicked on browse, it, my app data folder came up.
Yeah, it's not doing that.
Mine didn't either.
And I think you're right. I think when I was playing with it yesterday, it did.
Wherever you save that thing, it's where it is.
Okay, but how did you get to it?
I mean, it popped up as soon as I clicked on it.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
It's on my USB, though. So wherever you save that file is...
Yeah, no, I know, but I was hopefully playing with it and saying, no, it's going to... Okay, this is the one that I copied. Let's see if it likes that one. Okay, test connection succeeded, so who knows?
I had a quick question about that. Why would you get an error saying that it's not the same type of file on it?
Did you get that error?
No, not on this, but yesterday on homework I was trying to do. The only database they'll let me put in is the door. Any other one I try, from the ones from 120 last semester, any new one I, like the payroll database I try putting in, it will not let me put it in. The door
really?
Is the only one they'll let me put in yet.
Wow. Because I haven't had that problem. I've used a bunch of different ones.
Yeah, that's the only one they'll let me put in. I couldn't figure it out.
I can't either.
I got off of it.
Okay, well, I mean, just go with the donor for everything if that's what you have to do.
Yeah, no, but like the payroll problem, then it could be a problem.
You can always add a table to donor call payroll.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but you can add.
I was just trying to figure it out, literally, no matter what.
Right.
They opened, oh, they work fine and everything else.
I've never seen that happen.
When I was trying to do the test connection, it was telling me.
What version access do you have?
Access, I don't know, whatever, came with Office 365, Access 13.
Okay.
Yeah, joint user.
I have no, I've never happened to see that. So I'm saying okay now. Next. Next. And now I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick the drive table. And say I want to sell, I might as well just see them all. Okay, now notice it makes the select statement for you as I clicked on those things. It says select D drive number, D drive name. It just keeps going along and clicking the drive number, the names. If you want to get into, you can actually go into advanced and you can see, not advanced, that would do too, but you can go into the where and you can type the expression in there. You can go into auto buy and choose what you want to do in auto buy. Hmm. So if I want to put things in order, I can do that. Okay. And so now it comes up and says next. And it says I can test my query. And I always breathe a sigh of relief when I get there. And I actually see the data. Okay. And so it's now tested the query. And so once I've tested the query, that tells me that it made the connection and I can finish. Okay. So now I am back here, and if I hit Control F5,
what does it say? Is that what's in the data?
No, that's just its way of filling in to show that something will show up. That these are text boxes. So it's showing basically these are text boxes and these are numeric boxes, and that's how it just shows it.
Oh, so it doesn't actually load.
That has nothing to do with the data. When I run Control F5, now it should come up with the data.
Control F5.
And it is taking forever to connect, but eventually it might actually agree to it. There it is. And so there is the data. So now I'm seeing the data. And again, it's under localhost. So that means that I'm running under localhost, as opposed to a database that's out on the server. I'm running under localhost. Okay. Did everybody get something? So that basically is, I can set up a database website, and if I want to connect to the website and have something happening on the website, I can do a grid. Next semester we'll get more into how you can do individual fields and everything, but I basically just wanted to get you to the point that you can see that a website can be connected to data. And that you can bring up data. So if you're taking the PHP class, I mean, this is connecting to data and bringing it up the same as we've done in PHP. Okay. Except that we have to use the wonderful application here, and we can also do code, but I have very, as I've told you before, filling in boxes and following directions and clicking is not my favorite thing to do. So essentially that is the result. Now, if I come over here and I look, I'm at design. If I go to source, there's my source. Okay, so you can see if you click on source there, that's the source of where they set up the grid view. Hmm?
Said the split works wonders.
Yeah, split works well.
You're trying to do like CSS stuff in there.
And there's the split, so it shows you the...
So there it is, and you set up a grid view. Here's my title. This is my title with an H1 on it. And then here's the grid view, and notice it's being done in ASP. Okay, and ASP is, as I said, years ago, I actually would write this in ASP. And, you know, ASP is a language you can actually write in. And I actually wrote a lot in ASP. Now, the ASP can get magically generated if you use the generator here. And so it magically gets generated, but it's still valuable to know some ASP because then you can go in and modify it. But, and you can see that it goes to form ID, form 1, run at server, and then ASP for all parts of ASP. And we're going to look at that in Web Matrix too. I have a bunch of examples out there under ASP in Web Matrix. Okay. So, what I'd like you to do is the one that I asked you to do is the tutorials on the kayak. So it's 11.3 and tutorial 11.4, which gets a second page. And so that gets into all of those things. And if you go through and do that, then basically I think you'll be have played around with a good deal of the web developer stuff. So I'm suggesting...
Yeah,
or else show me that you got it done today. I would love to have you show me that you got it done today. That's why I don't have one more thing in my email. I'm actually down. Being sick was, in a way, a good thing because I alternated between the couch and the computer and actually got some things checked. Whereas if I'd come in here, I would have just gone home and gone to bed because I felt so lousy. If you take enough aspirin, you can just... So when I left this morning, there were about 35 things in my inbox. I have no idea what will be there when I get home tonight.
So we're doing this now?
Sure. Yeah. That was the assignment I put out there, and basically I'm letting you do it now. And if you get it done now, then it's one more thing off your list. And I really think, at least, I don't know about you, but I learned a lot doing these tutorials on these kind of clicky things. I'm not so fond of the tutorials back in the programming, but on these click here and then click there, I learn a lot by doing the tutorials.
I like this book. I think it explains things well.
I like this book, too. Unfortunately, apparently, the guys fell apart for the second one. But I like this book as well. Okay.
along that row of things you can pick.
Is that under something?
Well, it's right next to format, you know, the top line file and door cross. It's
yeah.
kind of in the middle. Do you see it?
No, I don't have it.
Really?
Yeah, because I just hit it. The date is on it. Sure. Okay. All right. Make sure you tell them to hold up. 13.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second to show you the web matrix thing. I thought it would take me longer to bring it up. I have an example over here that has a database. And I have a whole series of programs, if I go to files, that run using that database. So if I say inventory show all and say launch in browser, it will show eventually the things that are on my inventory table. Okay, so I have a whole lot of tables that use it. But what I was saying before about MDF is that if I click down here on databases, then I made an MDF file. And it allows me to come down here and make an MDF file, and I made this file. And if I look at definition of the file, that's the layout of the file. So it looks an awful lot like everything that you've seen in other databases. They call a numeric, date and time, and var character as opposed to var character, but we can live with that. We check the thing that is going to be the primary key and all of that good stuff. And that's the description. And then when we say data, that's the data. And if we want to enter in more data, we can enter it in. So it's an awfully easy way to make an SQL server file and database. I completely developed this database within WebMatrix. So I went into WebMatrix and completely developed the Microsoft server database.
And that's easier than access?
No, but just a an alternative, and if you want to use them, if you want to use Microsoft's product there, the SQL Server, it's a pain to download. There's a lot to it, and they've kind of made it the keep it simple, stupid version
uh-huh.
here.
Right.
And so I can come over here and just, I've got a database. If I want to create a new table, I click on new table, and I can create a new table. And they've made it the easy for dummies kind of approach to it. So if I go over to definition, it shows me the definition of the table. And I did one yesterday where I just went and created a brand new database that I was using with a lot of my questions. And again, we're going to get into that the second semester. And now I'll keep quiet and you can go do the kayak.
Go over here to the properties, and there's a thing on there called style. I think that's it. And then if you click on those dots, modify style box comes up.
Thank you.
Sometimes the directions in the tutorial leave a little bit to be desired. But usually after I've cursed them for a while, I can't figure it out.
What are the properties?
what to tell you.
Okay, if it helps to have two.
If we just don't understand what to say. Was the sign up for kayak tour supposed to be together on the table or what?
Well, what do you mean by table? It's supposed to be in the web page.
No, but is the title supposed to be inside the table?
It's supposed to be on the web page. It's the title.
Okay.
So the same as when I was over here doing this one. If I go into design, that's an H1 right there. That's how you put the title on. Okay, and then they basically have a I don't know. Oh, okay, I see what you said. I don't remember whether the title is in the table or not, because they do set up a table to do this. If you don't get it looking exactly like it, that's fine. I agree that it's a pain in the neck.
Well, step 6 says insert static text and set the cell line. Are we just typing in the cells at this point?
Yeah. And they're showing you what you should have in each one. Okay, so they've got the title appears to be outside the table, because they appear to have put the title on first and then the table, right?
Yeah.
And then they've set up this table, and then they're going to put different things into the table. So they're using a table as a structure, much the same way you can do in web development if you want to. The CSS people that get carried away think you should never do that, but it really makes life a lot easier sometimes to set up a table.
How do you align?
I haven't figured that one out yet.
Well, it looks like right up here, doesn't it? In the formatting, that's a
line left.
And then you've got a line right.
Oh, okay.
Here I am trying to do it in the properties.
I mean, a lot of the formatting stuff is in up on that formatting bar.
This is the home that did the whole thing.
The picture on page 705 kind of shows how they want it.
These bars, put that, and then the pull down, the little arrow next to it, you can change to the left, right, or center.
Thank you.
What are you working on? DL tour.
Yeah.